Gracious God and ever blessed Father, we ask now as we turn to the scriptures that you would send forth your spirit and grant us the spirit of illumination that we might read, mark, learn and inwardly digest, and all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. We begin a new series this morning, 14 or 15 or so, and we're calling it Heroes and Villains, and these will be based on lesser-known characters from the Old Testament, and this morning it is Cain. Genesis chapter 4, and we are reading the first 17 verses. Genesis chapter 4, you'll find it in your pew Bible on page 3. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. My name is Cain. My parents are Adam and Eve. I had a brother called Abel, but he is no more. I killed him. I am, do you see, the first murderer. It's how I am remembered. Cain, the murderer. I lived in a city called Enoch. I also had a son called Enoch. There'd be another by the same name later who was taken to heaven without seeing death. That was kind of weird. Enoch, the city, was in the land of Nod. Enoch, in my language, means dedicated. I called it that because that was my life. I was dedicated to sin and self and Satan. God punished me for what I did and cursed the ground to make it less fruitful for me. And then he said, you will be a fugitive and a wanderer. I bore a mark, the mark of Cain. No, it's not my dark skin color. That's a racial slur that develops a lot later in a place called America. And it was peddled in order to justify slavery by suggesting that people of a certain skin color are genetically inferior. Yes, people really thought that. Christians believed that. Even I know that that's shameful. I can't tell you what that mark is. The Bible, and you understand I didn't possess one, doesn't explain what the mark was. Some will say it was a Hebrew letter tattooed on my forehead or arm. In any case, it set me apart. People would see it and stay clear of me. I told God that I would surely be killed for what I had done. And later, people like me who commit murder will be put to death by law. But for some reason, I was spared. God threatened a sevenfold punishment on anyone who killed me. So he gave me this mark to warn people to stay clear. Eventually, there would be hundreds of us. People, human beings, that is. My parents will live almost 1,000 years. And there's a Jewish historian called Josephus who will write that the number of Adam's children was 33 sons and 23 daughters. They married. Yes, that's right. In these early years, we married close relations, sisters, nieces, grandnieces. I can't tell you the name of my wife, but I can tell you she was my sister. The law about marrying close relatives, the rules of consanguinity is what people eventually would call it, was still 400 years away. I guess when God told my parents to be fruitful and multiply, we needed a sizable population in a hurry, and there was no other way to achieve it. Yes, I married my sister. But I digress. You want to know about that murder? I know. He was my younger brother. For a while, there were just the four of us. My parents, me, and my little brother, Abel. And then came brothers and sisters, and soon there'd be nieces and nephews. Moses only talks about some of my siblings. It's not a complete list. Some people will try and tell you that while God created my parents, Adam and Eve, there were other hominids outside of Eden, one of whom I would marry. But even your science proves otherwise. In 2013, in the Journal of Science, research conducted on mitochondrial DNA, which looks at the female line, all females trace their origin to one woman. And similar DNA research on the Y chromosome points to human origins coming from one man. My siblings, they came so quickly. Hard to remember who they all were. We were very prolific, and soon I was in the company of multiple generations of offspring, hundreds, and some of them had magnificent talents. There was a relative of mine called Jabal, who was the father of those who dwelled in tents and had lots of livestock. He had a brother called Jubal, who was very musical. And then there was another relative called Tubal-Cain. Yes, he bore my name. He was a metal worker. I didn't take long. It wasn't difficult for us to discover how to make fire and melt certain ores and extract something we called copper. We made all kinds of tools, rudimentary by your standards. I know some of these tools were used to kill fellow human beings. Kill, that's right. I killed my brother. It all started with an offering that we both made to God. Abel was an outdoor type. He was a hunter. He was also a shepherd. He knew a thing or two about sheep. There were animals everywhere. Lots of them. All kinds of animals. And birds and things that crept on the ground and fish and so on. After my parents fell, they were banished from Eden. You can't go back. There are angels with flaming swords preventing re-entry. No one can get past them. After the curse on the ground, some of these animals became wild and predatory. God seemed to have anticipated this and created some of them predatory from the very start. But sheep were docile and easier to work with and good to eat. And my brother Abel brought an offering to God of his sheep, and especially the fat, the good parts. He was into animals and livestock. And I was into horticulture, digging in the soil, watching things grow, fruits and vegetables and so on. And I brought an offering, but it was vegetarian. Potatoes and cabbage and carrots and fruits, grapes and pomegranates, things like that. And he didn't like it. And he told me so. God, well, he was all upset at my offering. And I am still angry. He was all over Abel's gesture, telling him what a good boy he was. But mine, he turned his nose up. Abel the pious, flaunting his tender conscience and showing his devotion to God in such a precious way for the admiration of all. I could barely stomach how father and mother gushed over that. To this day, I'm not sure why my offering was so wrong. Some have told me that when God told my parents to cover their nakedness, providing skins for the task, he was sanctioning the killing of animals for food. And more than that, he was telling us that animals must die and blood shed in order to maintain our relationship with him. I am told now that this sacrifice involving blood shedding would be the way God would teach us that someone must die in order for us to be in a right relationship with him, and that someone eventually would be God's son. But that was a long, long way ahead, and I wouldn't see that at the time. So some say that I was willful and disobedient. There are others, and they've said that God showed his will to us about these offerings at the time we offered them. And I should have expressed my sorrow and regret and said, I will go and sacrifice a lamb right now and come back here with it. Perhaps if I had said that, things would be very different now. But I didn't. Instead, I got huffy, took umbrage. I'm hot-tempered. It's my nature. People said I was testy. I had trouble controlling my temper. Truth is, I resented what God said and did. I still do, if truth be told. Who does he think he is? I was only trying to please him. He is so difficult to please, so picky, so demanding. And from that moment on, we were not friends. We were enemies. I hated him. There. I've said it. I still hate him. Still others said to me, it wasn't the vegetables versus the meat thing. It was your attitude that was wrong. When you worship, you must do so in spirit and in truth. And Abel, goody two-shoes, was sincere and contrite and submissive and worshipful. I, on the other hand, was insincere. I just wanted to get the thing done and move on with my life. There were better things, more important things to do than waste all this time offering sacrifices to God. It's not that God ate these sacrifices. He doesn't eat. He doesn't need food. So there's what people call my disobedience. It's also unfair. And I was angry. I was really angry. Jealousy and envy took hold of me. Apparently it showed in my face. I looked as mad as a hornet. "Why is your face fallen?" he asked of me. "Because I'm angry with you," was the answer I didn't give. He had come between me and my brother and favored him. And I was spitting angry about it. This whole mess is his fault. He started it by picking on me. He gave me an opportunity to make amends. Strange that. If I had only accepted what he had said and repented, but sin was crouching at the door. And I opened the door and let it in. I embraced it. I welcomed it with both arms and felt something that I had never felt before, a desire for revenge. I was going to have words with Abel, strong words, angry words, biting words, hateful words. I don't think I knew at first where all this was going. It wasn't premeditated. I hadn't planned to do it. It was a crime of passion. I just wanted to tell Abel what was on my mind. I went to him and I lost control. I was so angry that whatever he said, and I can't remember what he said, I just let him have it. "Hey, little brother, who do you think you are? Do you think you're so much better than me? You deliberately showed me up. You could have warned me in advance that he didn't like vegetables and preferred lamb. You just wanted to get all the limelight, all the attention. Enjoy it, did you?" And there was more, much more. I can't recall now what all I said. I just remember the rage, an experience, an emotion that was out of control. I took a rock from the ground and held it in my hands. I was shaking all over. And then as he turned, I hit him. I hit him on the head. I think that's what happened. He fell like a stone to the ground and blood was pouring out of his head. I had killed my brother. And I fled. And God found me. He knew what I had done. He asked me where Abel was, just to see if I would admit it, but I didn't. "I don't know," I said. "Am I my brother's keeper?" That statement has been repeated over and over down through the years. It haunts me still. It was a silly thing to say. I used the same word that described Abel's life. He was a keeper of sheep, and I was meant to be his keeper. I was his older brother. I was supposed to look after him. But now I felt no bond between us. The rage in my heart had severed these sibling relationships. Hatred had taken over. It was just like my parents' account of what occurred to them in the garden. When they listened to that talking snake, they began to blame each other. I never saw that snake. There was no one enticing me to do what I did. It all came from within me. My family is broken now because of me. My parents still visit his grave and lay flowers. My mother cries whenever she thinks about my brother, I'm told. They say sin is deceitful. You want to cover up your sins by doing more bad things, so I lied. I told a downright lie. I told God I didn't know where he was, when all along I knew exactly where he was. He was lying on the ground, and I could see in my mind's eye the blood pouring out of his head, and I had done it. I picture the scene over and over. I see it when I try to sleep. It haunts me. And he knew. I was angry with him, and I didn't want to talk to him. God knew what I had done. I won't be the last one to commit fratricide. They tell me that Rome, that great city, far greater than Enoch, was built by twin brothers, Romulus and Remus. The story gets a little fanciful. I'm told they were taken to a pack of wolves as infants and were raised in this pack. Eventually, they discovered their identity and they were offered crowns, but they didn't accept them. They wanted to build a city for their own. Of the seven hills in Rome, they couldn't agree on which hill to build the new city, and Romulus went ahead and started building on the Palatine Hill, and Remus mocked him, jumped over the wall to show how easy it was, and Romulus killed him. Like I killed Abel. My punishment is greater than I can bear, I said. You see, God punished me. He told me the ground wouldn't be as fruitful for me as it had been at first. I would become a wanderer. I wandered away from Eden, and I wandered away from God. My punishment is greater than I can bear, I said. I was just trying to say, this is so unfair. It was an accident. But I would have been lying. I just said, it's too much. I turned my thoughts to building a city. I called it Enoch. The name means dedication. I deliberately called the city Enoch because I refused to be a wanderer. It was a sign of my rebellion. It was like me saying to God, you think I'm going to wander all my life, but I'm going to stay put right here. I built walls to keep God out. It was the first man-made city that in time would lead to Babel, a massive ziggurat that was man's attempt to say we didn't need God. We could save ourselves by our own ingenuity. I'm told that when my mother gave birth to me, she said, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. That word, gotten, got, sounds in Hebrew like Cain. She told me that God had said to her that a savior would come from her, and I think when she gave birth to me, she thought I was that savior. How wrong she was. How terribly wrong she was. I cannot save myself, let alone others. I haven't seen her in a while. My mother, that is. I was such a disappointment to her. Do I have anything to say to you? Yes. Beware of envy. Envy killed my brother. I'm told there's a woman in Texas called Wanda Holloway. In 1991, she and her daughter were at an event in a junior high school, trying out for a spot as a cheerleader. Her daughter didn't get it. So she asked her ex-brother-in-law to hire a hitman to kill the girl's mother, the girl who got the spot as a cheerleader. Her reasoning was that if her mother was killed, she wouldn't be able to continue, and then the spot would fall to Holloway's daughter. But instead of hiring a hitman, the ex-brother-in-law went to the police. She's still in prison. Envy did that. Envy is a poison. It'll destroy you. You want something so bad that someone else has. You resent that they have it and you do not. It leads to hatred and murder. Oh, you don't have to commit murder in the actual sense to be guilty of murder. The one that eventually will be my mother's seed, the one they call Jesus, preached a sermon and said, if you call your brother a fool, you're angry with him, you are liable for hellfire. Sin isn't just something outward, they say. It resides within, in our thoughts, in our ambitions, in our desires. I'm told the gospel has power to destroy envy. It takes you out of yourself to look at another. It enables you to find fulfillment in being Jesus' servant. But I don't believe it. My brother gets an honorable mention in the Bible's Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, something about his faith. He worshipped by faith. And I did not. I worshipped according to my own rules. I still do. I'm told an apostle by the name of John will write, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. My deeds were evil. They came from within my heart. I was driven from the presence of the Lord. You know, the word presence literally means face. There would come a man called Aaron, Moses' brother, and he would say, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Well, God's face doesn't shine on me. Do you see, if you follow in my footsteps, you will end up in hell. Yes. That's where I am. I was driven from God's presence forever, and it's too late for me now. But not for you. You have time to put your trust in Jesus. So do it. There's a city, Enoch. It's like the city of destruction. And there's another, the celestial city, where I cannot go to now, but you can, by trusting with all of your hearts in Jesus. I'm told there's forgiveness for envy and jealousy and yes, murder. If you repent and believe in Jesus, all kinds of sins can be forgiven. But I didn't want his forgiveness. And now it's too late. I'd give anything for forgiveness now, but it's not going to come my way. I will be a wanderer in hell forever. But it's not too late for you. I hope I'll never see you here. Make sure of it. Please. I beg of you. Father, we thank you for this extraordinary story. The very first child born into the world was a murderer. And we believe in hell. Never received forgiveness. The first child born into the world. What a grip sin has on human nature. But we thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Keep us from envy and jealousy and rage and hot temperedness. And keep us looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.